What's up, everybody? Welcome back into another episode of Cult Film Cafe. Of course, it is me, Jonathan, one of your hosts, and as always, I'm joined with my best friend in the world, Kenzie.
Hello, everybody. What's up?
I mean, I don't know if he's my best friend in the world. I just thought it would be a good thing to say there. It's normally the same thing all the time. Anyway, yes, we are doing our Oscars recap. Don't really know what to call it. Kenzie managed to stay up to the wee hours in the morning to watch it. I sadly couldn't because I have a thing called a job to get up and go to. So I am going in blind. I have managed to avoid all spoilers. So, yeah, this will be an interesting one. I think the way we're going to work it is Kenzie's going to go through the categories in the order they were shown on the show, and if we were right, then that's great. If not, he's going to test me and see if I can get a guess to see if I can think who might have won instead. So this should be fun. It shouldn't be a super long episode, and I hope you enjoy it. So, Kenzie, take it away. What one are we tackling first?
Right. So, just so everyone, just in case anyone hasn't watched our predictions things, but if you haven't, I would recommend quickly checking them, you know. But if you don't have them, I'll quickly say which ones we predicted. And that is, and this is, I'm going to say them in the order that they were shown in on the Oscar show. So that means we'll be starting with Best Animated, going to Best Supporting, to Best Original Screenplay, Best Adapted Screenplay, Best Director, Best Actors, and then finishing with Best Picture, because that's how it went on the day. Of course, there's a lot of other ones, but we didn't bother doing predictions, because there's a lot, there's a lot of...
Not like 23 categories or something.
Yeah.
It was 20 something. They actually done them all live on the night as well, which is strange.
Yeah, it was went to about 3:30 in the morning. It was quite, some parts were quite tedious, man. There was like three like short ones like all together and stuff. It got to, because it done like the first few, and then it just kind of stopped for ages. There's a bunch of ones you don't really care about until it's suddenly you got to at the very end. It was just like, all right, hit after hit after hit. But the actual show itself was all right. Jimmy Kimmel was hosting. I like Jimmy Kimmel. I always say that out of like all the late night show hosts, Jimmy Kimmel was probably my favourite. And Jimmy Kimmel just kind of done his kind of Jimmy Kimmel thing. They made some jokes that were kind of funny. A couple pokes at Will Smith, not too many, but I thought they were quite tongue-in-cheek.
Probably not as many as that was on the Chris Rock stand-up special that Netflix has just put out.
Yeah, probably not. But he said stuff like, there was a couple of things he said were quite funny. I quite liked, he said, if anyone's going to get, he's talking about if something goes wrong. And he said, if someone wants to get on stage and get jiggy with it.
All right, okay.
And then at the other point, he was like, hopefully, this is the point, it was the point in time where it actually happened when Chris Rock got slapped last time. And he's like, hopefully there's no hitch happens, or like no hitch comes up. He was making a joke about it. Because Will Smith played Hitch. It was a good joke. I don't know how he worded it exactly, but it was good. A few other things he had, like, because he had a lot of them, of course, they always have different like actors and stuff like that up on presenting the awards. Elizabeth Banks, who's recently just directed Cocaine Bear, she was up and had a cocaine bear, like, in a bear outfit, doing stuff. Jimmy Kimmel actually done a thing that's never been done in the Oscars before. He asked he got some audience questions to ask, some of the actors in the state, not on stage, in the audience. So he asked like Colin Farrell a question, asked someone I don't actually know who it was, and then he started riffing, and then he started making jokes about Matt Damon, because that's Jimmy Kimmel's thing. Still going to have him goes at Matt Damon after the whole thing. It's kind of funny, but yeah. And then I think the final thing they ended with, he parachuted in at the start. But I think what ended with, when Jimmy Kimmel was going off stage, there was a little sign at the side saying, "An Oscar incidents at the like at the it, number of show number of Oscars without an incident," and he just flips it up to one. So it's kind of that was all the kind of jokes he'd done for like kind of Will Smith and stuff like that. And that, so Jimmy Kimmel was a good host, but he's like I said, he's not actually like there a lot at most, because there's tons of like actors and stuff come up and do the awards and stuff like that. But he was an alright host. Made it a bit more enjoyable, but for the most part, there's a lot of ads. Like, oh my. And I'm watching it on Sky News because I'm in the UK, and the same ads were playing over and over again. Oh my. There was this one for this documentary about some Irish heroin or something. I don't even know. It was so annoying. But apart from that, I made it through. And that's pretty much everything else I need to, no drama happened.
Right.
Yeah. We're just ready to get really down into brass tasks. So
right, safe pair of hands. I think there was a lot of like positives about Jimmy Kimmel coming back to host instead of it being, I think, the last one. I don't know if it was last year or in the last couple of years, there's been like famous, not, I know Jimmy Kimmel's famous, but actresses or actors. Like, I'm sure Tina Fey and somebody done the Oscars together. And I think what they were saying on the podcast that I listened to is the fact that they were doing all the awards live on the night.
Yeah.
They needed somebody to be able to like keep it going rather than like, you know, but it becoming a super bloated experience. But, you know, it's still a long event. But anyway, let's get into it. So animated feature first.
Yes, we will be starting with best animated feature.
So
do you want me to read? Do you want me to get up and I will, do you want me to read the, all the nominations again? Because I'll probably have to.
I mean, if you want, aye.
Yeah, hold on. I can quite get up in Wikipedia. I probably should have done that earlier.
I mean, I can tell you off the top of my head if you want.
Oh, but you got them?
No, I just know what they are.
Oh, right. I'm just going to quickly get up on Wikipedia, to be honest. Because I might as well, like, just quickly read them out. It's more professional. Sorry, folks. I should have already. This might get cut out because I should have already done this.
What do you mean more professional? You should just know.
I should just know, I know.
The Sea Beast, Marcel the Shell with Shoes On, Guillermo del Toro's Pinocchio, Turning Red, and Puss in Boots: The Last Wish.
That is it. Yes, that's correct.
Right, so I've took the lead for this category. Kenzie can do the other ones. Yes. I'm sticking with my guns. I think because this was the first one on the show, they were obviously, it was a sold on, this one is definitely going to be this film. I think it's won like every other award for best animated feature, and we predicted that it would be Guillermo del Toro's Pinocchio, so I'm quite confident to say that that won.
So just go with that was the correct one?
Well, I mean, like, I think so.
All right. Well, the answer has been submitted in. Let's see if we were, both of us said the same one.
We both agreed on this one.
So I can, it's not a surprise. I can just say it. It's Pinocchio one. It was, like, it's not a surprise.
It was like nailed on.
There was no, the only other film I thought could maybe win was Puss in Boots, but even that was like my second place one possibly winning. And even if that actually did win, I would have been shocked.
That's just based on our, what we liked. I think probably the biggest competition would have been Turning Red, since Disney or Pixar are so strong in this category. But I'm glad Pinocchio won. We did get it right.
It was like, I think it was just at a higher standard than every other film that was on. Although all the other films, well, some of the other films were quite good. I wasn't a big fan of Turning Red. I know some people seem to really like it, but it wasn't for me. But Pinocchio, the animation, it's simple. Just that alone, never mind the good story.
I know
everything else, but that the animation for that film is fantastic.
Kenzie, you do realise we're trying not to bloat this episode out to like an hour and a half. We have a predictions episode where we deep dived the categories before the Oscars happened. We spoke about the films, kind of more at length. Spoke about them. If you've checked that out, thank you very much. If not, and you're just seeing if we got it right or not, thank you for listening to this episode. But yeah, Pinocchio won. I think I said on the predictions episode that animated feature and best supporting actor were the two most nailed on, in my opinion. And we'll get to best supporting actor next, I assume.
Yep, we go straight into that. So we'll be starting with best supporting actor, because that's how they showed it. They seem to show actor first, then do actress. They've done that with both best actor and best supporting actor. So we'll go straight into best actor, which the nominations for best supporting actor was Brendan Gleeson for Banshees and Vinny Sheeran, Brian Tyree Henry for Causeway, Judd Hirsch for The Fabelmans, Barry Keoghan for The Banshees of Vinny Sheeran, and Ki-hae Kwan for Everything Everywhere All at Once. Now, we both had the same...
Both agreed.
We both agreed on this one. We both said Ki-hae Kwan would probably easily win this one. He didn't win the BAFTAs, but I'm still...
I don't give a fuck. Yeah. This one has got to have been him. And if it wasn't him...
Riot.
I'm not really sure what my guess would be.
I mean, yeah. I think he... Yeah.
Anyway, I'm locking it in. Did we get it right?
We did. The first two were really easy. Don't worry, there is some surprises in here, but when we get there...
I would guess so.
But the first two, yeah. It was not a surprise. Glad he won. He was really emotional about it, but I can understand why.
Exactly. He had to retire from acting because there wasn't enough parts for him. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So I'm really, really happy that he got it. I'm just really happy for him. Also, just nice to see.
Also, just want to say, fun fact, that he's prepared a different speech for every single award ceremony.
Effort.
Yeah. He cares. He won this. I'm glad that he won. It was an astoundingly great performance. I know that Barry Keoghan was people's dark horse because of the impact in the film. I just don't think he had enough screen time. Judd Hirsch should never have been nominated in this category.
So weird,
he was in one scene.
It was a couple of scenes and he was gone. I don't know. He was good in it, but he wasn't that amazing that I thought he deserved an Oscar.
I mean, quite like Brian Tyree Henry in Causeway, as much as the film's okay and not great, he's probably the best thing in it. Brendan Gleeson to me was a co-lead and not a supporting actor. I mean, it was a strange one. And to be honest with you, it got me thinking, is Ki-hae Kwan was on the screen just as much as Michelle Yeoh, but did they strategically place him in a category where they were more certain he was going to win? Because I feel as though putting him up against Colin Farrell, Austin Butler, Brendan Fraser, it would have been a much tougher affair. Whereas putting him up and supporting and then realising how much he carried the film that he was in, along with Michelle Yeoh, it was an easy win and an easy choice to pick. And it's a great performance. Yeah, I'm glad he won. So, we got
two for two.
We've got out the blocks great. Not sure I'm confident it's going to last much longer, because I'm pretty sure I got this next one wrong as much as... I feel as though I picked the wrong person from the same film, but we'll find out just a minute. So, best supporting actress next.
So you don't know any of these? You don't know this one either, no?
I don't know any of them at all. No, like I said, I'm in blind for this.
Right, well, we go straight into it. Best supporting actress, which, of course, was Angela Bassett for Black Panther, Wakanda Forever, Hong Chau for The Whale, Kerry Condon for The Banshees of Inisherin, Jamie Lee Curtis, Everything Everywhere All at Once, and Stephanie Sue for the same film.
So I've got two things I would like to preface in this.
Yes.
One, I think if Michelle Williams, who is in the lead category, they strategically placed her in this, she would have won this category the more I think about it. But I'm not quite sure it was a supporting performance. The Fabelmans is a really weird one, because Paul Dano is probably not in the film as much as her, but it's led by the young actor playing a fictional Steven Spielberg type. It's a strange one. I think they got it wrong, because I really don't think she stood a chance in Best Actress, but she might have won it. I don't know. We'll get there in a minute. And two, I feel as though, I picked Stephanie Sue for Everything Everywhere for this. I can't remember who you picked. Did you pick Angela Bassett?
No, I picked Kerry Condon.
So you picked Kerry Condon. And I have a funny feeling that we're both wrong.
We are.
And I have a funny feeling that... my second point I want to preface, I feel as though they've gave this to Jamie Lee Curtis as a kind of tip the hat, you've not got an Academy Award, here's your Oscar.
You originally said, when we were doing the predictions, that you originally were going to go with Jamie Lee Curtis, and you changed.
But did she win it?
Is that what you're locking in?
I'm locking in as my backup, yeah.
Yes. Jamie Lee Curtis did win, and I am shocked. And I think she was shocked too. You couldn't hear what she was saying, but she actually went, "Shut the front door."
I've not seen any of these. I've not even watched it on YouTube or anything to see reactions, but
I don't think she should have won it. I do love Jamie Lee Curtis, and I think she did a good performance in the film, but I don't know if she should have won.
Don't know.
But like, I'm happy for her anyway, because like I said, Jamie Lee Curtis deserves an Oscar. I'm happy with that. But like, I just don't know if she was the one who should have won. It shocked me.
But you picked Kerry Condon because you're not only liked her in Banshees, but she's in Better Call Saul. So,
I mean, to be honest, I think her performance was better than Curtis's.
I don't know.
Maybe I just prefer it. I don't know.
Prefer it.
I don't know. I just didn't think Jamie Lee Curtis's role in that film was like a kind of, compared to the other ones in that film, were up to the same thing. But to be honest, I didn't even recognize it was Jamie Lee Curtis when I watched the film. That's actually a point that maybe.
Well, about like 4 months ago, this was Angela Bassett's Oscar to lose.
Yeah.
And she lost it.
Lost it.
Lost the race.
I mean, that's what happens, you know. The Oscars can sometimes be obvious and sometimes just go a whole random way.
Yeah.
I was shocked with this one. Jamie Lee Curtis got it. I mean, if she wasn't going to get it here, I don't think she would have ever got an Oscar at this point.
Anyway, we did say in the predictions this was kind of like a, like, pick the one that you want, rather. Like, I don't think we actually knew who was going to win it. This was one of these more open categories, but I suppose if you'd maybe looked at some of the previous award ceremonies, but if you look at the BAFTAs, they kind of favour British and European. Kerry Condon won there, but I'm sure Jamie Lee Curtis has won at other awards as well. But we did get it wrong, but I did manage to back myself up and get it right a second attempt, which I'm quite happy with.
Yep.
So what are we on to next?
We are now on to Best Original Screenplay.
So original went first over adapted, strange.
Yeah, they were straight after each other. It was original, adapted. Like straight like that.
Right. This is a funny one.
I'll tell you the nominations and that. Was that? Sorry?
Well, yeah, you can say the nominations, sorry.
All right. The nominations for Best Original Screenplay were The Banshees of Inisherin, written by Martin McDonagh. Everything Everywhere All at Once, written by Daniel Kwan and Daniel Schneinart. The Fablemans, written by, of course, Spielberg and Tony Kushner, apparently. Tar, written by Todd Field, and Triangle of Sadness, written by Ruben Östlund. Hopefully I pronounced that right.
That's right, yeah.
Okay. So, we varied on this one.
Yep.
I said Everything Everywhere All at Once, and you
I picked Banshees.
You picked Banshees, right, okay. So, do you think your prediction was correct?
I think one of our predictions was correct. Am I right in saying that?
You would be right in saying that.
Now, this just depends how much of a sweep everything got. They've already won Best Supporting. But I'm going to stick by my guns. I think, as much as Everything Everywhere All at Once is this kind of kooky, weird, like, parallel universe film, I think it's much harder to write a black comedy. Like, I just think that what Martin McDonagh does as a genre is much more difficult to write. So I think he should have won.
Locking that in?
I'm going to say that I got it right.
You got it wrong. It was everything everywhere all at once.
This isn't looking great.
It's not going to be looking great, trust me.
Probably not.
Everything Everywhere All at Once won that. It just depends, really. I feel like Martin McDonagh maybe should have won, but like at the same time, I'm happy with Everything Everywhere All at Once win. It was out of like those two. I mean, Tar should have got kind of mentioned as well. I think Tar was really good as well. So I don't know, but
I've got 2 out of 4 correct. You've got 3 out of 4 correct.
I have 3 out of 4 correct. You have 2.
Fuck. Okay.
Okay.
See, this could swing back in my favour because I've picked some weird ones that if they did win, they were like great picks. But I mean, it's not looking fucking good though. I might have only got 2 out of 9. In all honesty, I think the rest of these I might have went the wrong way. But what is it? Best Adapted.
Yeah, we're now moving on to Best Adapted, which the nominations for Best Adapted Screenplay were All Quiet on the Western Front, which was a screenplay by Edward Berger, Leslie Patterson, and Ian Stockell. It was also Glass Onion, A Knives Out Mystery, written by Ryan Johnson. Livin', written by Kazuo Ishiguro. Top Gun Maverick, there's a lot of names there, so I'm not even going to bother, but it's Top Gun.
Christopher McQuarrie.
Yeah, he's one of them there. Let's just go with him. And then we've got Woman Talking, which was a screenplay by Sarah Polly. So, you chose...
Quiet. I think we both agreed in All Quiet.
Yeah, we both went All Quiet. Okay.
But I have a sneaky suspicion that, like, I got swayed, I think, by the BAFTAs. And I think if I could redo this, I would probably not pick All Quiet in the Western Front.
Right.
Because I don't think it won.
What would you go with?
Well, can you tell me if it won first?
All right, yeah, sure. It didn't win.
For fuck's sake, man. Right, wait a minute. Right, just because we're here, did it win Best International Feature, though?
Yes, it did.
Thank fuck for that. Like, it had to win something. That film's amazing. Like, it's a great piece of filmmaking.
Like, it won quite a few things, but...
Fuck the Oscars. Like, I know that, BAFTAs go, it's British and European films, but go and watch the making of on Netflix of this film. Go and watch this film and tell me that it's not, like, one of the best films made this year. And I suppose the Oscars and all these films are best made. But it never even got it's just such a good film. Like, everybody was talking about 1917, 5 years ago or whenever it came out. Mm. And was like, oh, it's like one take. Oh, he's doing this. All Quiet on the Western Front is a better film. It looks better. It's shot better. Period. I don't give a fuck what anybody says. But 1917. Oh, Sam Mendes, this. Oh, that's best. But fuck off. See, this is what annoys me. But because it's not a big name director that's already in with the Academy, it gets fuck all nominations. Like, there are proper categories. I think it's bullshit.
It kind of sucks. I mean, at least the BAFTAs kind of showed. I think the BAFTAs gave some films love that didn't get love here.
Both got it wrong.
Both got it wrong. What would you have guessed at?
I think Sarah Polly won this for Women Talking, in all honesty.
You're correct. And I did not see this one coming. I really thought it was going to be All Quiet.
I think it's been... I just think it's because of what it is, and to be in all honesty, I mean, this is probably the only thing that Women Talking won in the whole night. So, I mean, it's one of those films that I think that the Academy likes, but I mean, it was never winning. I know it was in Best Picture, and we're going to get there. It's never winning that. I don't give a fuck. And if it does win that, for fuck's sake. And she wasn't nominated for director, so. Yeah. Anyway. Okay. I don't feel bad about that. I just think All Quiet on the Western Front is a better film. So it should. I know this is adapted screenplay, but. And yeah, I suppose this story hasn't been adapted yet. In All Quiet, there's a novel and a film already out. So maybe it's. Maybe I shouldn't have picked All Quiet, but nah. Well. Okay, I don't feel bad that Sarah Polly won for this.
Women Talking is a good film. It's just it's quite a rough film, and it's not going to be for everyone.
I suppose All Quiet in the Western Front, though. It's a rough film.
Yeah, that's true. But both films are good.
Realistically, there's not that many heartwarming movies here. You know what I mean? Tar's a fucked up movie. Banshees is a fucked up movie. Everything Everywhere All at Once, as much as it's kind of kooky and wacky, it's kind of sad and depressing at times. I mean, realistically, if you're picking the film that gave you the most joy, Top Gun Maverick should have won everything, you know what I mean? As much as you didn't like it as much as me, but it's the only film that I watched and went, holy fuck, this is actually quite, fun. Everything else was just fuck's sake, man.
It was a kind of a break, that's a fair...
Anyway, what are we on to now?
We are now on to, I think this is on to the big three.
Big four.
Oh yeah, sorry. I keep on looking at it as one thing. Sorry.
You're 3 from 5. I'm 2 from 5. It's not looking great. Kenzie might beat me in this, and that I don't like that. But
Okay, we're going to go with best, well, not going to, that's for the next one, is best director, which nominations for best director were Martin McDonagh for The Banshees of Inisherin, Daniel Kwan, The Daniels for Everything Everywhere All at Once, Steven Spielberg, Fablemans, Todd Field, Tar, Ruben Östlund, Triangle of Sadness. So, I predicted that, I think it was the Banshees I chose. I chose Martin McDonagh for this one.
Yeah.
And you chose Todd Field.
I went like left field because I quite enjoyed Tar. You liked it a bit more than me. Like, and Tar. I think, I think when you get a performance out of your lead actor, or stroke actress, but like actor, and in a film, it's down to the director as well. There's some form of harmony working there. So, yeah, I just, there was something about the direction. And Todd Field only makes a movie like once every 10 years as well. So, strange.
Yeah.
I'm hoping, like, this is where we've probably both got it wrong. I'm predicting that we've both got it wrong.
You're correct, we both got this one wrong.
So that leaves Spielberg. Who's the other? Ruben Östlund.
Ruben, and then the Daniels.
This is where the Everything Everywhere All at Once wins again, isn't it?
Yep.
Fuck off, man.
Yeah, the Daniels won again.
Like, it's a good film, but I don't think it's the best film out of all of these. I really don't.
I mean, to be honest, I really like Everything Everywhere All at Once a lot. I think it's such a good film. I honestly do feel like it is a 5-star film. But to be honest, if I wanted to go and rewatch one of these films, I would maybe watch Tar again. I really like Tar. I don't know what it is about Tar, but Banshees as well. Like, I think I'd go and watch them first before I went back to Everything Everywhere All at Once. Because even though, I don't know, there's something about, I feel like if I go back and watch Everything Everywhere All at Once, I'm going to have like a good time with it. But if I went back and watched Banshees and Tar, I feel like I'd get more out of it on a second watch. But maybe I would as well with Everything Everywhere All at Once, I don't know. But they did win Best Director. I mean, double directors, I don't know if they've... Has two directors won before in the Oscars? Probably. There's been 95 of them. I don't know if they've
Well, I mean, surely the Coen brothers have won, but then it's normally only like one of them that's a director, which I think's all the shite, you know what I mean?
Well, that's a bit odd.
And then they've both directed their own independent projects away from each other. So they shite. The Coen brothers, the Coen brothers, if it's a Coen brothers movie and they're both attached to it, they are both behind the camera. Like, so they've definitely won for best director, I'm guessing, before, so.
Right, yeah, fair. But yeah, that is what it was. I feel some people were quite happy about that. Some people, I don't know. Like, I think they were in it for a shot. I think it's fair that they won, but I feel like it's a shame for Todd Field and Martin.
I mean, I think it's a 3-horse race.
It was out of those three. Like, Spielberg, it's just...
Spielberg's got enough. He doesn't need another one.
Yeah, you don't need any more. You're there, okay, you're Spielberg, of course, you get here by, like, just because at this point. But that's how that happened. So, should we just swiftly move on?
Yep.
Okay, we're now on to the best actors. So, of course, we'll be starting with best lead actor, male actor, or whatever. You know what I mean. So the nominations for them were Austin Butler and Elvis, Colin Farrell in The Banshees of Inisherin, and Brendan Fraser in The Whale, Paul Mescal for Aftersun, Bill Nye for Living. Living was the film that we actually didn't watch because we couldn't find it anywhere. It's not our fault. It just wasn't available yet.
Saying that, between the predictions and now, I've watched like the first 45 minutes of that film.
How is it?
It's all right. I mean, I can see why he's nominated, but I don't think he would have stood a chance anyway, realistically.
Yeah. Right,
I picked Austin Butler in the predictions episode.
Yep.
You picked Brendan Fraser.
Yep.
Is this an upset, this one?
I wouldn't say so, no.
No?
Nah, it's not upset.
So one of three won it then, I'm guessing.
One of three, yeah.
So it's either Colin Farrell, which none of us picked, or one, Brendan Fraser or Austin Butler.
Yep.
Did one of us get it right?
Yes.
I'm sticking with my guns. I think Austin Butler won this.
Austin Butler did not get it.
Fuck off, man.
Brendan Fraser got it.
Fair enough.
Brendan Fraser got it, and I was like, yes!
To be honest with you, The Whale's a better film than Elvis.
It's kind of hard.
Exactly. These awards, like, I'm not saying they're tinged or anything, like, but like, sometimes I feel as though, I'm not saying he's bad in the film, it's a great performance, and I get it, but sometimes I think the Academy goes, oh, like, look at Jamie Lee Curtis. I mean, I don't think that was the best performance in that category. Now, we did say on the predictions episode that it was a three-horse race. I just felt that Colin Farrell and Brendan Fraser would cancel each other out. But then also, of the voters went, Brendan Fraser will never do another performance to ever sniff an Academy Award nomination. But Austin Butler's, what, like, 27, 28? Probably will. Based on, like, what he's just done in Elvis, and going forward, they'll get loads of opportunities. And Colin Farrell works with directors that will put him in the limelight. So maybe I was naive to pick Austin Butler. Maybe I should have went, oh, Brendan Fraser, it's the easy option. But do you know, it was a three horse race. I'm not disappointed that he won it. I just feel like, I don't know. It's fine.
I feel like some of these went the way that a lot of people were expecting, I think, some of these awards. I just never thought Colin Farrell had a chance, to be honest, in my eyes, and I feel like I was right. It's a good performance, but again, I feel like I've seen it before. I know he's a good actor. I really like Colin Farrell. He's probably up there was one of my favourite actors. But I thought it was either going to be Austin Butler or Brendan Fraser, and I thought hands down it was going to easily be Brendan Fraser. But then after seeing the BAFTAs, I was like, okay, actually, it's Elvis we're talking about here. He could win it.
Well, and fairly.
He was fair running, because it was a good performance. So you can't lie that Austin Butler's performance in that film was not superb. It was very good.
It was so, very good, but like, so was Brendan Fraser.
Brendan Fraser was absolutely amazing. I'm happy that Brendan Fraser got it. Out of the both performances, I probably did prefer Brendan's, but they're both really good performances. Shame for Austin, but Austin, I'm sure, and down the road, he showed that he's got good chops for acting, so hopefully good things happen down the road. But Brendan Fraser, I'm really happy with that.
My biggest, the one thing that I would caveat, though, is Austin Butler done more in Elvis than Brendan Fraser done in The Whale. Like, that's my point. Like,
fair.
Like, but Brendan Fraser put on a fat suit and played a depressed guy that wanted to kill himself by eating too much food. Now, there's some form of, like, you need to resonate with an audience and you need to use emotion and stuff like that. It's fine. But Austin Butler went from Elvis as a unsigned artist to fat Elvis. He done more. In my opinion, he done more. Like, I'm not saying he was robbed. Like, I think they were all good performances. It's just, if you're giving somebody an award for acting, I think the person that does more on screen should maybe win.
That's a fair point. To be honest, I've only watched The Whale once, my parents watched Elvis, so I watched that a second time. Yeah, I came to Sky Cinema just like after we'd done it, so they watched it, I watched it again. I'm not going to lie, I actually liked it a lot more the second time round.
It's like a Baz Luhrmann films are kind of weird. It's the way it's framed. It's like, I didn't really like it. I don't know if I'll ever watch it again. Maybe I will. But takeaway is that Austin Butler is amazing, and I just hope that he doesn't play Elvis in every film going forward. But anyway,
That will ruin him if that happens. But hopefully that doesn't.
I doubt it. I think he was maybe just playing it for award season, and we'll kind of see.
I don't know. I think it's hard to get, if you stick to an accent for so long. I mean, it's still a while. I don't know. I think people are a bit hard on him. I don't think he sounded that. I know he sounded different, but I don't know if he sounded exactly.
But maybe he just went full method and just stayed in the method a bit longer than. Well, sometimes it's
like,
would.
I mean, I know like Christian Bale and that like sticks in the accent for the whole film because he doesn't want to like lose it. You know what I mean?
Well, look at Daniel Day-Lewis.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, he's a about as method gets. And, well, if you look at this generation of actors or actors in the last 30 plus years. Anyway, let's not digress.
Okay.
Well done, Brendan Fraser. It's not a bad performance. I did enjoy the role, but...
I'm happy for both. I'm so happy both of them got it. I was just really happy with it. It's very nice to see. Okay.
Best actress.
Best actress. And, of course, the nominations for these were Kate Blanchett for Tar, Ana de Armas for Blonde. We didn't watch that, but it's not meant to be that good, but her performance was meant to be good. Andrea Riseborough?
Andrea Riseborough.
Michelle Williams for The Fabelmans and Michelle Yeoh for Everything Everywhere All at Once. We both chose Kate Blanchett, am I correct?
Yeah, I chose Kate Blanchett, yeah.
I thought she's a shoo-in, right?
This is an upset, isn't it?
Yeah. Possibly-ish.
What do you mean by
an upset?
Well, if Michelle Yeoh didn't win, it's an upset.
It's not an upset, though.
If it wasn't Kate Blanchett and it wasn't Michelle Yeoh, that's a definite upset. But I'm guessing Michelle Yeoh won.
Michelle Yeoh did win this
That's
one,
fine.
Yeah.
I'm all right with that.
I was a bit shocked. I honestly thought Kate Blanchett had this one in the bag, but I don't mind.
Like I said, there's a two-horse race and we just backed the wrong horse.
Backed the wrong one. I don't know. I just felt I was very confident. But I'm happy that
I think there was
Michelle
probably
Yeoh
a lot of people that would have picked Kate Blanchett. I don't know. I think Everything Everywhere All at Once, people were so kind of wrapped up in and maybe they were going to win everything. I mean, I don't know. Like I said, I don't think this is a bad win. I think we just picked the wrong winner.
I'm happy for Michelle Yeoh.
Definitely happy. But I mean, Kate Blanchett's got a couple of Oscars already. I mean,
she doesn't need
another one. I think that she'll be positioned in films in the future again to be nominated. It's just, will Michelle Yeoh? Not so sure. And it's not that she's not a bad actress. It's just some actors in the industry seem to position themselves not better than others. They just end up in projects which get a lot of awards attention more than others, you know. So
I'm actually kind of happy that Michelle Yeoh won it. It's nice to see. I think, right, do you know what? It was a great performance, deserved it. So
yeah, great performance, both of them. Like I said, it was a two-horse race. We picked the wrong horse.
Yep.
Now for the biggie.
For the Biggie Smalls. Not Biggie Smalls, but the big one. The Best Picture. So let's quickly go through the nominations, because for some reason the nomination for Best Picture always has more nominations in it than anything else. I don't know who decided that, but that's just how it works.
Well, it used to only be five.
Well, it's...
And then it got up to eight. It's now 10.
Why? Like, is that what...
I think it's just to allow like a more diverse range of films in, you know. If it was only five, think about the films that wouldn't have been even entertained. And I think what I've heard is increasing to 10 has allowed positions for films that a lot of people have seen, a la Avatar and Top Gun Maverick. Like, if you were to pick five of those films, both of them might not have made it. At least they're in the mix, you know.
Right. Well, let me just quickly run through the nominations, because the nominations for Best Picture are, or was, or you know what I mean, All Quiet on the Western Front, Avatar: The Way of Water, the Banshees of Inisherin, Elvis, Everything Everywhere All at Once, The Fabelmans, Tar, Top Gun Maverick, Triangle of Sadness, and Woman Talking. Okay. We went different on this one. I'd say to just stick with Everything Everywhere at Once, and you went with...
I picked my favourite movie, I think, out of them all.
You choose Banshees?
I picked Banshees when I shared them, yeah. I think when it's like the categories that wide, that there's 10 films, I think maybe if there was only five and they were all, it was like a bit more, maybe it was a bit more strategic. So I think for this, I was just like, do you know what? I'll pick the film that I enjoyed watching the most, which was The Banshees of Inisherin. Look, based on the fact that it's won none of these, I'm not confident that I'm not confident at all in my pick, and I think you've probably done the right thing by sticking with everything everywhere all at once. But deep down in my core, I really hope there was a massive upset.
So what you want to go with here? What's happening?
Was there an upset?
No.
Right. So if it wasn't an upset, one of them's right. And it's probably you.
Here's an interesting fact. Banshees did not win a single award tonight.
Fuck off.
Not a single award. I am not joking.
That is fucking howling, by the way.
Not even in any of the small categories. Didn't win a single fucking thing.
That's fucking insane.
But yes, everywhere, all at once, fucking swept.
Everywhere, all at once,
It fucking is everywhere. Like, they won, like, every award. I don't know what the fuck.
Did it win every award?
No, it didn't win every award, though, but it won.
I think it was nominated for 11 awards.
And I think it won 7.
It's all right.
I think it's won the most out of the night.
Obviously. Fucking... So they got Kihei Kwan.
Yes.
Best original screenplay.
Yes.
Best director.
Yes.
Best actress.
Yes.
And best.
Best picture.
See, this is my point. See, this is funny. I don't know what the last film was to do it, but, like, the Big Five. Now, the Big Five are both actor and actress, picture, director, and screenplay. They would have had a chance if they put Kihei Kwan in Best Actor to have done the Big Five. Because the picture, director, actress, and screenplay, they won 4 of them. They obviously won supporting actor, but it would be interesting to see if he was up against Brendan Fraser if he'd have won. Not sure. We'll never know.
Guess we'll never
maybe
know.
Maybe they should. Maybe looking back on it, maybe should have. Because
I've got a feeling he actually might have won.
Yeah, maybe he would have. And people will remember everything ever all at once and these Oscars, obviously, and the awards that it won. But like, if it won, like. Things like winning the Big Five kind of matter. I understand why people love this film, and I get that people maybe think it's a 5 out of 5, but I mean, I don't think it's a 5 out of 5 film. I don't think it's the best film. I cannot believe that Banshees won nothing.
That did shock me.
Like, that film is incredible, and it won nothing. Did Tar win anything?
Nope.
See what I mean? Like, another incredible
shocking.
Film, won nothing.
I didn't really think it stood a chance, but I really like the film, I'm not going to lie. I love Tar. I think it's such a
like,
good film.
Like,
you
understand.
Not Tar, it's not for
like,
everyone, but it's so
but
good.
But to win nothing, like, not even a below-the-line, like,
I know,
it's fucked
it's
up.
Just
like,
like, for music and nothing, I just didn't...
who won for best music, by the way? Was it Justin Horowitz for Babylon?
No,
is that what he's called?
I don't know what.
Yeah,
that's actually funny. Jimmy Kimmel made a joke about Babylon, saying like a film losing 100 million. It was kind of a sore one for the director, probably. But
it's definitely not because it's Damien Chazelle and he's young and he took a big swing. But I think going forward, he'll make a lot of the kind of more smaller projects like Whiplash. I think that's where he should have stayed. Because I think Whiplash is his best... Like, that's fucked up. Now, what's fucked up about his career, Damien Chazelle, is he made the best film he's probably ever going to make. Now, this is maybe a hot take because he's still young and he's got 30-plus years of filmmaking still in him. But the likelihood is he made his best film that he's ever going to make, and I think he was, like, 26 years old.
Yeah, it's kind of weird. Do you want to know who won for
best music?
So is this best original score, right?
Best original score, yeah.
Yeah, so things were in that was The Fablemans, Everything, Everywhere, All at Once, Banshees of Inisherin, Babylon, and All Quiet on the Western Front. All Quiet one.
Yeah, nice, like, thankfully.
I'm not going to lie, see that tune? They keep on playing the same tune every time that got nominated. It's that do, do, do. It sounds amazing.
Hans Zimmer.
It sounds such, it's a new film and it already sounds iconic. Like, I feel like just, I remember that tune.
If Hans Zimmer wrote that that sounds like a Hans Zimmer kind of score. It's inspired, like, it's what all these young people do, though. Like, young up and coming score. I mean, the person that scored the film might not be that young, but you do what works, and Hans Zimmer works. So
to talk about other awards, All Quiet did actually win quite a few of the smaller ones, but for best makeup and hairstyling, which I kind of thought was going to be like
Elvis,
or something. Yeah, that's what I kind of thought. It was actually The Whale that won for that one, which I think that's fair because the prosthetics used in that film are some of the best
prosthetics
I've ever
character.
Seen. On one character, I know, but it's really good. I know, I kind of.
What was that? Best costume?
That was best makeup and hairstyle. No, best costume went to Black Panther.
Ah, sweet. I like the fact that they won.
I think that's fair. I think it was between that or Elvis, but some film called Mrs. Harris Goes to Paris was nominated, which made me laugh. That name sounds so silly.
Yeah,
to me.
But I
Mrs.
think
Harris
that, like,
Goes to Paris.
The person that was the costume designer on that is quite a big name, and sometimes it's so. It can go one of two ways. Like, you, Black Panther, Wakanda Forever is like an interpretation of sort of that style plus, you know, Namor and that sort of style of what they've done there. But the flip side to that is to try and replicate a style that's already passed. It can be quite difficult as well. So that's why you find films like that getting a nod. It can kind of go one of two ways, but it doesn't surprise me. Anyway, I don't know if there's any other categories that I would like. Did the Batman win anything?
I don't think so. A couple other ones I'll quickly mention. Best cinematography was All Quiet.
Nice.
Best sound was Top Gun Maverick.
Nice.
Film editing was Everything Everywhere All at Once.
Okay.
Best production design, All Quiet on the Western Front.
Nice.
Best visual effects, of course, Avatar: The Way of Water, and it was the only one that was going to win that.
See, like, that's what fucks me off, though. The only reason they won that is because they developed new technology. It's not because the effects look better than any other film. It's the fact that it developed new technology. And it's probably developed new technology that nobody else is going to use.
I know, but...
That's what fucks me off about this. It's like, fair enough, it won an award, and it is what it is, and we probably didn't watch it in the best circumstances. We probably should have went... I don't watch things in 3D, but going to an IMAX and watch it there. Fair enough, and I didn't. I chose to watch it at home. But I'm not really interested in the Avatar film series. I love James Cameron, like I've said
many times in the podcast. Too.
I just want him to make films that
get Schwarzenegger back. Make something with him now. Come on.
Fuck knows. It's never happening. He's wrapped up in Avatar. And to be honest with you, the next two or three sequels might be the only films he ever makes, you know?
Yeah, I know.
Well, it'll be interesting to see if Avatar 3 comes out at the tail end of next year, which it's saying it is, but I don't think it'll be delayed. Like, I think the reason that these films end up making that amount of money is because they take that long to develop. I mean, if he just churned them out next year and the year after, are they going to hit the same? Probably not. But we'll see.
Yeah.
It wouldn't shock me if that we're getting the last Avatar film in like 2030.
God, kill me.
But anyway,
I just want to mention. There's one more thing I want to mention before, because I've already mentioned that All Quiet won Best International, but for Best Original Song, they actually came and performed it. They performed a couple of the songs during the show.
This is weird because I'm pretty sure Best Song is like a category that's got a lot of famous people in it, like
it
musicians.
Does. I'm pretty sure they played. I think they played every song bar, or like actually in the show bar applause for Sophie. No, they did play that. Sophie, that was the first one they done. Sophie Carson and Diane Warren. And I'm not gonna lie, it was super cringy. I didn't like it at all. They done Lift Me Up, Rihanna, Black Panther, Wakanda Forever was alright. Hold My Hand, Lady Gaga was alright. And then there was This Is a Life, Sun. The one for Everything Everywhere All at Once, which is a really weird song, and I think it kind of clashes. Wasn't too sure about that. But Stephanie Sue actually performed in that song.
Yeah.
And then the one that's completely left field, and my favourite song of the night, was Natu Natu, which is from the Indian film RRR, which picked up on Netflix. That song slaps so hard. Well, it is now in my Spotify. It won. Natu Natu won.
I think it was folks on
it. It's so good.
We didn't obviously deep dive all these below the line ones. We focused on like the top 8 plus animated feature. But yeah. Anyway.
Listen to Natu Natu, trust me. It's a banger.
Well, fair enough. There's Kenzie's recommendation of a song to listen to. That is it for the Oscars, whatever you call it, recap. I don't know what we would call it. You know.
Do you want to know our final scores?
Well, you got. Did you not get like 5 out of 9?
I got 5. You got 2.
I got 2 out of 9. That's fine. But I went with my gut. Well, no, I went with my heart and a lot of them. So. Sometimes you do a Damien Chazelle and you take a swing and you miss. But at least with my miss, I didn't lose $100 million or more. So.
Very true.
And if there's any Hollywood filmmakers out there, I will save money and not make stupid films that are 3 hours and 50 minutes long. If you're looking for a filmmaker to make a weird and wonderful project, hit me up. That would be interesting. It's obviously not going to happen. It might in the future. But yeah, I digress. This has been fun. Oscar season is now officially over. Back to regular cult films for us going forward.
We've got a couple coming soon that'll be pretty interesting to talk about.
Yes, we do. We do indeed. And you won't have to wait long until we have a guest voice back on the podcast. So yeah, we hope you enjoyed this one. And if you'd like to go and show support for the podcast, go over and give us a follow on Instagram and Twitter at Cult Film Cafe, and you can find all episodes of the podcast wherever you get your podcasts. So yeah, it's a goodbye from me.
And it is a goodbye from me. Have a wonderful day, everybody.
Podcast out.